Hi, folks, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Romola, a registered dietitian, dietitian supervisor, and owner of Empowering Dietitians, where I help burnt out and unhappy dietitians opt out of hustle culture and reclaim their passion and purpose as a human first and dietitian second. After all, we are all more than dietitians. We are wrapping up our season 3 celebration with a guest episode with Marissa Sharkey, a dietitian with a background in clinical care who was among the first dietitians to ever experience the Abundance Course back in 2021. As a reminder, while I'm on maternity leave, January through April, I'm re-airing some of the top podcast episodes of the entire show, one season at a time. And as a quick note, I'm sharing 4 top episodes per season, but there are actually 5 Sundays in March, so I'm going to be skipping next week. So no episodes airing next week. We'll jump into the final series or leg of the top episodes the week after on April 7th. Okay. So now, about today's episode. Today's episode was originally episode 80, and it's titled From Burnout to Joy with Marissa Sharkey. Now, for a few updates. First, the way we chat about my course, Abundance. First, it wasn't called Abundance at the time, and it was also being run as a live group program. It's now a self-paced, self-study course, so you can access it anytime from the Courses and Classes page of my website. You get to go at your own pace, and when I'm not away on maternity leave, you can also bundle it with one-on-one supervision if you are looking for that extra support. Another update. Marissa recorded this episode when she was about halfway or two-thirds of the way through the program, which meant she still had a good ways to go in her work and self-discovery. She speaks in the episode about being in a transitional space for figuring out the next best steps for herself, and also still being in the process of addressing her burnout. I can say that by the end of the program, Marissa made some pretty big moves in her career to really align her work with her values, to take burnout recovery even more seriously than she already had been, and to create the kind of life that allowed her to center what matters most to her. Of course, I love that you get to hear her in the process of all of this work, to show that it isn't always about this cookie-cutter ending. It can be a process, and it can be messy, and there is still so much to be gained from those in-between moments. So listen in for Marissa's experience, not only with supervision, but also with grappling with values, addressing the need for systemic change, and her top advice for dietitians who may be struggling themselves. Welcome to the podcast, Marissa.
Thank you for having me.
I am very excited to chat with you. You're officially the first participant from the group program with Empowering Dietitians to come on. So I'm really excited for you to be able to share your experience and also just who you are and what you do. So why don't we kick it off with that? Tell everyone who's listening a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Marissa, and I would describe myself as a fiery, redheaded Sagittarius feminist dietitian who currently works in critical care in inpatient ICUs. I've been there about 4 years now, and I absolutely love it. Day to day, I would say I do NFPEs or nutrition-focused physical exams. I order tube feeds. I do diet education. I'll call families. I do a lot of things. Advocate for nutrition on a regular basis. But outside my professional life, I would say that I love cats. I'm obsessed with my cat. If you follow me on Instagram, you would see that. Yeah. I've developed a lot of my personal, spiritual practices this year. I'm really interested in crystals and astrology and things like that. But I also love just overall music, the gym, beauty, just a wide variety of interests.
Love it. And I love that we are, you know, wide, multifaceted human beings with all these different interests. And I also, I love anytime a clinical dietitian comes on the podcast because it does get a little bit of a bad rep. And to hear from someone who is in that role and does get fulfillment from that work. And I know you really enjoy that critical care space and mm-hmm. the way that you're able to help your patients. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing your perspective. It's important for other people to hear too.
Oh yeah. I'm glad to be here. I mean, I think clinical does get a bad rep. I think it's an environment that's good to start in, but it's also an environment that's good to end in. I mean, you don't have to start in clinical to get anywhere in our field. That's totally yep. fine. I respect that. And I know that it's not for everybody. And I just happened to fall into it. And it's funny because I always enjoyed nutrition support, even in schooling. And I did not expect myself to just be thrown right into the ICUs as a baby yeah. dietitian.
Yeah. So I'm sure that was scary when you first started.
It was intimidating. I'm not going to lie. And we have diet order writing privileges too. Yeah. So, I mean, I went through my probation period, of course, you know, I had to make sure somebody oversaw like what I was doing and made sure I passed competencies. But in the beginning, it was terrifying. I can't tell you how many times I would call my coworkers being like, does this sound right? What do I do with the propofol? Should I right. do this tube feeding? Because they have this going on. They're not tolerating. How do I change this? Or like, what do you think I should do? So there was, I'm sure I drove my coworkers crazy, but we're team. Normal.
And now looking back on that, you feel confident in those areas. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily the imposter feelings that brought you to empowering dietitians specifically. That is mm-hmm. something that some dietitians come to me for, but you feel pretty confident, at least in your realm of the critical care unit. Mm-hmm. So what did make you want to enroll in the group program?
Well, I mean, in the beginning, when I started in the field, I think there are some confidence issues that we all face, mm-hmm. and that's absolutely normal. Like I tell this to my dietetic interns all the time, like, I don't expect you to know everything. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are things I don't even know. And there are certain disease conditions I don't work with all the time. And that's okay. Like, you look things up and our field is ever changing, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But if anything, like the pandemic has definitely strengthened my critical care skills and my love of critical care. But at the same time, I think it's impacted dietitians. And I don't think we as dietitians talk about it enough. Yeah. I know that on the news, they're always talking about doctors and respiratory therapists and nurses mm-hmm. who are all impacted by the pandemic. And that's totally 100% true. And I have been a big support for them. But what about the dietitians? Mm-hmm. What about the ones that had to come to work every single day during the pandemic? Yeah. Never got a break, never got to work from home, still had to go. And by the way, I go into COVID rooms. Mm-hmm. It's still expected of me. So, you know, what about us? You know, what about our pandemic pay? What about our, you know, support and need? And I think part of that is what brought me to you too, because I think when you're in a space of clinical and you're expected to have a certain workload and expected to see a certain amount of patients, and you're at this pace of constant movement, yeah. over time, it wear and tears at you. And as much as you may love it, it does wear and tear at you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think sometimes we, as dietitians, we're also people pleasers, we're perfectionists. We have this ability to constantly go, 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 because that's all we've ever done ever since we even went into schooling. So I think I was on that track consistently, and I ended up in a place of burnout. And it's not surprising. I mean, considering the pandemic, and I know other nurses, doctors, other specialties have gone through this. So I needed something that was more specific to dietitians who understand the struggle and understand specifically like what we go through as dietitians.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the little like pamphlets that HR passes out on like, make sure that you get enough sleep and drink your water.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite cut it, right?
Heroes work here, have yeah. another pizza party, you know, exactly. things like that. It's yeah. not enough.
No, it's not going to actually resolve the burnout that a lot of us have been experiencing over the past few years. So it sounds like that was the driving force that mm-hmm. brought you into the group program to really have someone who gets it. Cause that's the thing, like we have a lot of support for nurses and doctors, and probably not enough still. We probably need more comprehensive support for them, but to have someone who gets the uniqueness of being a dietitian and the like power dynamic roles that we play in a hospital system, it can be really helpful for sure.
Absolutely. And I mean, mental health wise, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of good things out there. And I think it's great, you know, if you need the mental health help, like I'm a big advocate for mental health. I myself struggle with anxiety. I've had depression. I've been traumatized by this pandemic. There's no doubt. But you know, I got the help that I need. I went to therapy, you know, I worked through that, but I still needed something that was different from that. I mean, there's only so many ways I can talk to somebody and learn about coping, but like someone who kind of validates and understands the point of view of the dietitian, specifically, it's just different, you know, in supervision versus, you know, mental health counseling, and both have their benefits and both are great. And I recommend them. But I really needed more of the supervision aspect.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that because it's not something that we have enough of in the field. And it really does make a big difference. Now, you came in, you were pretty like comfortable saying like, I really think that this is right for me, when we were having our conversations on Instagram and we, you know, had a phone call and we talked a lot about what you were going through. But did you have any concerns before you enrolled? Anything that made you go like, maybe this isn't the right time, or what if this is not the right choice?
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody kind of goes through that. I mean, as somebody who has anxiety type A, you know, I got to know what I'm getting into, and I got to explore everything and got to research it. I got to know every detail to the T. I mean, that's to be expected. But at the same time, you know, I've developed a relationship with you even prior to signing up. I've followed your page for several years. So I think I was always just drawn, you know, to your authenticity. And I think there's not enough support in our field in general. There's not enough supervision. There's really not a lot of services like yours that can really help a dietitian that's going specifically through burnout or imposter feelings or the specific challenges we face.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. And I say all the time, like, I welcome in the competition. There needs to be more of me. There needs to be more people doing what I do in different specialties, in different areas. Absolutely. So was it really what changed your mind or helped you overcome those like anxieties and the second guessing? Was it just the connection and being able to say like, no, I've been resonating with this for a while. I think it's time for me to give this a chance.
I think everyone kind of reaches their breaking point. Also at the same time, it's, you have to kind of like what we've discussed before, you play it till you question it till the end or play it till the end, where it's like, well, what if I do this? What if it doesn't work? Will it work? You just keep questioning that logic and you're like, well, why am I feeling anxious about this? What's the point of feeling anxious about this? What's the worst thing that can happen that I get out of my burnout? That's not terrible. That I, you know, learn something new about why I'm burned out. That's not terrible. So it's kind of like you have to just talk yourself off a ledge.
Yeah. And that technique that you're referring to is what I call playing the script to the end. And it's really just saying, like, instead of making it this ominous, like, what if in your head, you make it tangible and say, okay, what am I afraid of? And if that actually happens, like, is that actually the worst thing? Can I survive that? What is the likely scenario? So we do a little bit of that like cognitive reframing to help in those moments. So I appreciate you sharing that, because like you said, when supervision is not something that's common in our field, it can be really scary to invest in it, because you have no basis for what you're like getting yourself into sometimes.
I mean, if people are willing to invest in their mental health and see a therapist for their mental health, or they're willing to buy like a business program to launch their business, why wouldn't you want to help with your professional development?
Yeah. I agree, but I'm biased. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with having somebody that can validate what you're feeling, because you may not always get it at work.
No,
in regards to management or your coworkers, if you're not close with your coworkers, everyone's dynamics are different at work. So, and I love the nurses I work with and the doctors I work with. They're wonderful, but they don't specifically understand the challenges that we as dietitians go through.
No, definitely not. And now you have a really busy schedule. So I would imagine that that was also a concern for you of like, do I even have time for this? And I would love if you could speak to that, because I think a lot of us have too much on our plates. That's one of the reasons that people come to me, is because they're kind of drowning. So how do you balance all of your responsibilities and priorities? You listed all these things at the top of the show of things that you enjoy doing and things that you're passionate about and your hobbies. How do you do all of that and also participate in your professional development?
Well, sometimes you have to ask yourself, like, if not now, whenever. I mean, if your mental health and your stress coming from your job is starting to take over your life and your quality of life, then it needs to be prioritized. Something has to get, you have to address it. Otherwise it's only going to get worse and you're not going to get any better. And you're going to be stuck in this loophole of not, it's just a vicious cycle. Like, you can't live there forever. You have to take action. And I know we as dietitians tend to be the ones that want to fix everything and take action. So I'm like, okay, if not now, when, you know, am I just going to let this continue to be an issue for me, or am I going to do something about it? And, you know, if therapy isn't going to be enough, then what?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it was at. And I mean, I'm also, as I just said, I'm very type A. I love to plan everything.
Yep.
I have a planner that I am obsessed with. It has stickers. I have pens. I love my planner. So I will always figure out a way to, you know, try to either be at the live calls or I'll watch them later. Mm-hmm. You know, I just make sure I just prioritize whenever I can and just put everything where it needs to be and try to make it work. And if it doesn't, then you just have to prioritize.
Yeah. And there have been weeks where you've been like, look, I didn't do like the journal prompts that we talked about. Right now I need extra time. And there have been weeks where, you know, I know today you are going to sit down after this and watch the replay from one of the things that you couldn't come live to this week. So it's important to be flexible and to have something that works with your demanding schedule, because it is tough to fit all those like puzzle pieces together.
Exactly. So, I mean, you just have to make it work and prioritize yourself sometimes. That's, you get to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true too, that sometimes we just, I would love to get dietitians before they hit the breaking point. But when you get to your breaking point, it's like, all right, well, you know, I have to do something because I can't pull myself out. So sometimes you just have to like make it work and find a way, but there are also ways that you can do it. It's not the thing that you're like spending 10 hours a week on this program.
Yeah, right? No, not at all. And I mean, like some of the prompts I haven't done. I mean, I'll be real. Like I remember you telling me like, oh, maybe have this be like a perfectionist challenge and not do this module, you know, and or not do this specific prompt. I think it was the ethics one. Like I watched the module recording on it, but like, I didn't do the, like, what exact rule does this relate to in this situation?
The case studies. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I understood it. I understood the point. I understood the relevance and like how it relates and how, what goes with what, but I didn't complete it. And I'm sitting here and I'm alive and I'm okay.
Right. The world keeps spinning. And that's the beauty of this, is that even when we like don't do something in a program like this, you're still learning something and you're still growing, because especially as a type A perfectionist dietitian, you get to practice not meeting maybe someone's expectations for what completing the program looks like, or not finishing a prompt, or not, I think there was one video that you didn't watch the replay for. And that's okay. You're still growing. You're still learning. And we just take that as a different lesson.
Exactly. And I mean, like, you're paying for the program, so you make the most of it in whatever way works for you. I mean, this program is about support. It's not about stressing you out. It's not like you're going to college, you know, it's supposed to benefit you, not stress you out.
Yeah, no, it's the same mentality of like the buffet of thinking like, I need to get my money's worth. Well, getting your money's worth isn't making yourself feel sick. It isn't like making yourself miserable. The same way that getting your money's worth in a program like this isn't absolutely killing yourself trying to check every box.
Exactly. I mean, I think I've definitely am classified as a perfectionist, but I think I've gotten better over the past couple of years, despite being in clinical. I mean, in clinical, we are very detail oriented because even the slightest shift in weight, I have to figure out why. You know, is the patient on dialysis? Are they on Lasix? Why did they lose? Why did they gain? Are they malnourished? Do I need to do another NFPE? Like, even just every 3 days, something crazy can happen in critical care. So like, you have to be detail oriented and you have to document, you know, well enough so you can remember. But at the same time, like, I'm a lot better than I was than say when I was in my internship in undergrad. I think like we've discussed, like, our schooling and the process itself kind of breeds us to be that way. And
absolutely,
I would even say that my burnout maybe even started in undergrad.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't doubt that one bit, because this is the thing, like, it's so slow and it's just little things and they become so normalized and you learn how to live with them. And then all of a sudden you kind of like tip over the edge and you realize what an issue it is. So a lot of it does start then.
I mean, I've explained to my therapist, like, this was the schooling process. This is what I did. This is how I got here. And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, that's what we do to become a dietitian. And she's like, then I think your burnout started back then. I don't think it started where you are now. I'm like, I can attest to that. I mean, I have dietetic interns, I will precept, and I see how tightly rung they are and how just stressed and nervous they are. And I feel bad because it's like, I want to tell them, like, it gets better, you know, yes. And you don't have to be like this to get to where I am.
Yeah.
And I try to give them the best advice I can. And I try to be empathetic and I try to just support them and be like, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to be perfect. You know, that's why I'm here to teach you. Yeah. You're not an expert coming out of school. That's not how this works.
No. And I think sometimes there's that pressure, that expectation that we will be, or we should be, or whether that's pressure that we put on ourselves or pressure that we internalize from professors and other preceptors and things like that. It definitely is pretty pervasive. And I appreciate you sharing that to anyone who's listening, who does feel that way or has felt that way in the past, to recognize that, like, we can choose a different path and we can shift our mindset to be okay with not knowing everything.
Exactly.
Now, is there a part of the program that's, like, stood out to you? I know burnout we're not all the way through it yet. You haven't experienced all of the lessons yet, but burnout was a big module that we addressed early on. I don't know if that one spoke to you or anything else that you were like, this really deeply resonates with my core.
The burnout one was great. I know there was a lot of, like, doing nothing, which was interesting, because I'm like, oh, I guess I just do nothing.
Yeah. Like, what, like, does that even mean? What?
Like, okay. I think I can get used to that. I'll try it.
Yeah.
But I really did like the values one. I don't know why. I just enjoyed writing all these list of words that, like, just vibed with me. And then I was like, ooh, cross it out. Now group them together and organize them. I think it's because I like to organize.
It's definitely a typing thing. Yeah. And it's funny, the number of dietitians who I work with, whether it's one-on-one group, anything, who I ask, like, what is your standout thing? They're like, the values work. And it's such a basic thing, but I think it's something that's missing from our field of taking the time to understand what's important to us and not just, like, what a dietitian is supposed to like or supposed to value, but, like, who you actually are.
Yeah. We don't do enough of that in undergrad. I think we don't do enough to help us identify ourselves too, because if you think about it, like, when you're in college, you're just trying to get to know yourself as a person.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to try to understand, oh, who am I as a professional?
Yeah.
It's a big question.
That is. And it takes time to figure it out. So if you're listening and you're like, I don't really know, or maybe, like, you thought you knew, but you're now at a pivotal point where who you thought you were isn't who you necessarily think you want to be moving forward. Like, that's a very normal part of grappling with yourself and coming into your own. So regularly revisiting this type of work, even if you've done values work in the past, can be really helpful if you're feeling like you're at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, if you're in college, like, I mean, typical college student, like 22, 23, 24 years old. And you're like, who am I as a person? I don't know what I want out of life yet. No. Like, you're dating different people. You're becoming friends with different people. You're trying out you know, just different things in your life, different styles. I mean, you're just, you barely know yourself then. And then you got to add on, you know, this whole big stressor of like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my career? Where do I want to go? Who do I want to be? What do I value?
What's my like 20-year plan?
Yeah. And yeah. They ask you that. They'll be like, where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years? Like, just trying to get through today.
Yeah. Like, can you ask me where I'm going to be tomorrow? I might be able to answer that one. But yeah, like regularly revisiting and doing that work can be really, really helpful because you are going to change and you're going to enter into different seasons of your life. And especially, I mean, if we're in the midst of this pandemic and it's shaped us so tremendously, it's impacted our work so tremendously, it's natural if you're experiencing some doubts or some uncertainties or just like feeling a little bit off. And it can nice to be just checking back in with yourself.
Yeah. I think it's normal for a dietitian to kind of go through like an identity crisis where it's like,
oh, for sure.
Who am I? Do I really want to do this for the rest of my life? Or what do I want to do next? Or do I want to maybe stay where I currently am and get an extra credential? Like, what is the next step for me so I can be fulfilled still? Because some people I know, they're happy with working the same job for the rest of their lives. And that's great. You know, that works for you. Cool. But I know a lot of people, they get restless or they want to try something different. They don't want to do the typical job. It's up to you. And that's the beauty of dietetics is that you can take it wherever you want to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like the blessing and the curse that we can do so many different things as dietitians. Cause on the one hand, I remember learning about it in school being like, oh my God, I can do anything. I can create my own job. Like this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, it's kind of paralyzing. Cause it's like, oh my God, I can do anything. Like, how do I even begin to choose? And, you know, there's no easy answer for that. But like you said, if we can just take the time to, when we're feeling like we're up against a wall, maybe it's time for us to reevaluate. Maybe it's time for a pivot, or it's just time to like check back in and see if there's anything that's evolved in our lives.
Yeah,
that absolutely. Warrants a shift. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's never too late to transition to something new or try something new. If it's calling you, I mean, why not?
Absolutely. Now, where are you right now and what are you working towards? And that can be as vague as specific. It's a pretty broad question, but in the midst of like figuring out who you are, you came in with a little bit of burnout. Where are you at this point?
I know I'm in the process of recovering, you know, from burnout and working through some things with myself in regards to like mental health and also just transitioning in my life in general. Like I love dietetics, you know, I love critical care, but you know, I do have curiosities about other pathways too. And I'm excited to see like where that may take me in the future.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you're kind of leaving it a little bit open-ended and trusting that you're in a bit of a transitional space where you're getting feelers for what still feels right, what you might need to evolve, what you're looking to build versus let go of. And you're just kind of letting yourself be maybe in this uncomfortable, we talk about this a lot, sitting with this discomfort of not having every answer.
Yeah. I mean, I am open to working in the next phase of my career. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what that is just yet, but I'm excited. I mean, I have these tools and these lessons, you know, like under my belt, and I think it's going to help me make a decision eventually.
Yeah. And that's really important for people to hear, because again, like you mentioned earlier, dietitians tend to be fixers. So we like answers. We like to take action. And sometimes we get to this space where we haven't resolved everything and we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. So I appreciate the perspective of like, you know what? I'm open-minded. I have a few different ideas of what my future could look like. And I'm just going to see how the next few months, few years of my life play out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm still going to practice self-care on the regular basis. I'm still working on, you know, self-compassion. I know that can be a difficult one. And like you said, sitting with discomfort, but I definitely want to like seek out other avenues and just, you know, try different things because I think life is too short to not go after those curiosities.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we wrap up today, what are your top few pieces of advice for dietitian? You've given a lot of like little nuggets all throughout this episode, but like top one, two, or three things that you want the dietitians who are listening to hear.
I actually wrote these down because I did not want to forget them, because I think it's so important that everybody hear these things.
Absolutely.
It's funny because I actually had a dietetic intern recently tell me I should be a motivational speaker.
Do it. Maybe so, that's your future.
Yeah. Could you imagine being a motivational speaker for dietitians?
Love it.
Get everyone pumped up about the field. I mean, I feel like we're a passionate group of people as it is, but
yeah,
then you add that into the mix. Oh goodness. It'll be a party.
I absolutely love it.
So I wrote, this is what I wrote. I said, put yourself first, even if it means letting others down. And that's including your family, your significant other, your kids, your friends, whoever is really important to you. Because if they care about you, they will understand and they will support you. Mm-hmm. Self-care should not take a backseat ever, even if it just means taking 5 minutes to yourself. And you need to speak up for your needs because they matter. Because as women, we tend to people please, we put ourselves last, mm-hmm. and that ends up backfiring.
Yeah.
And if someone, you know, if something were to happen to you, like how can you support them if you don't have the bandwidth to?
Yeah.
You know, and we're always taught that if we love ourselves, you know, we're self-centered, and that's not even, that's so far from the truth. I can't even begin to describe.
I know. I just heard a quote that was, you know, we always say like, you can't pour from an empty cup, but mm-hmm. someone went a step further and they said, you should be pouring from the overflow. You should be filling your cup up so much that it overflows. And that overflow is how we care for the people we love around us. So
exactly.
That sounds very akin to what you're saying.
Yeah, because if you're at your best because you're taking care of yourself, other people will benefit from the best version of you.
Absolutely.
And my second one is like I've kind of previously talked about, is like get the help and support you need before you're burned out. Yes. And to help your career just overall. There's a lot we don't learn as dietitians, like I've said, in undergrad, and having a supervisor, you know, like yourself can really help you feel validated. I think sometimes that's really what we truly need when we're venting.
Yeah.
It enhances your career aspirations too. It may help you get that passion back. It may help even just give you a clear sense of direction. Mm-hmm. And also it's just easier to prevent burnout or learn about it than to recover from it as someone who's doing it right now.
Yeah, no. And we know this as dietitians. We know mm-hmm. it's easier to prevent things than it is to deal
exactly.
with them. And we want to try to turn that inwards with ourselves too. It's so hard, but it's really important because it is a hard recovery. It's possible, but it's much easier to prevent it.
And also like sometimes like a different perspective, it just helps you see things differently. It can help you resolve things. It can make you feel at peace. Which is ultimately what we want, because mindset is really everything, as it just casts your reality.
Yeah.
You know, and my last tidbit is do what makes you happy. If you're in a rut right now and it feels impossible, like you just can't get out of it, just take a look at your mindset, because like I said, it is your reality, but question it. Be like, why can't I get out of this position that I'm in? Why can't I go after this dream or vision? Because if anything, it's not forever. Mm-hmm. And you can make a change. You need to be patient and you need to be kind with yourself. I know social media can make it really easy to compare yourself to other people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks so glamorous and it looks so easy, but you don't see the struggles and the work behind what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And just go for that position that you think you're not qualified for, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the exercise we did about rejection.
Yes.
Where it's like, why don't you ask the question and see what they say? Or if you make them understand why you're asking the question, maybe they'll understand, they'll give you the yes.
Yes. Yes.
You don't know until you ask or you try.
Yeah. No, we just learned the rejection and resilience lesson in the group program, which is what you're referring to. And it's mm-hmm. such a powerful thing, because we like get so worried about hearing no or being judged,
But a lot of times, no isn't the end of the sentence. And I say that hesitantly because, like, feminist in me, no is also a complete sentence. But if we can understand why they say no, then we can better understand either what we need to do moving forward in different opportunities, or it can just kind of like add context to everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, as women, we need to not only value ourselves as dietitians, but we need to just value ourselves as by ourselves. Like, our identity as dietitians doesn't need to be the reason we value ourselves.
No, no.
We're humans. Enough are alone. You alone are enough.
Yes. I love that. I love that. And I think those are all such key things for us to take to heart. So I really appreciate you sharing them. And I'm sure that everyone listening is like nodding along. And I feel like I'm like jazzed up and ready to like have a self-care. It's Friday afternoon when we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to like go do my self-care thing.
And take that bubble bath, drink wine, order that Chinese food, whatever makes you happy. Yeah. Life is too short. I mean, I've worked through this entire pandemic, and if anything, and also I see a lot of death and dying on a daily basis. So my job itself, I think, gives me that bigger picture outlook. And that's why I have that kind of like live life to the fullest and just go after it. You know, life is too short.
Yeah. If not now, when?
Exactly.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Marissa, thank you so much for joining me today. If anyone wants to connect with you and like follow along in 5 or 10 years when you become like the amazing motivational speaker that you're going to be, where can they find you? How can they connect with you?
So I'm on Instagram. So you can follow me as rosegold_mermaid. Yes, it's, I am a mermaid because red hair, Ariel, but
I love it.
Yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Absolutely. It was a joy and pleasure to chat with you today on the podcast, and go enjoy your Friday night.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, there are 2 things that you can do that dramatically help to support the show. First, leave a quick rating and/or review on your podcast listening app of choice, which really helps new listeners find the show. Second, sharing this episode with a dietitian friend can also go a long way in spreading the anti-hustle message to dietitians far and wide. And speaking of supporting one another, even though I'm on maternity leave right now, that doesn't mean this podcast is your only way of receiving support. On my website, you can find a host of resources, from free workbooks and journals that will opt you into my monthly newsletter support, to a whole library of recorded courses and classes, many of which are approved for CEUs by the CDR. Check out everything I have to offer on my website at www.empoweringdietitians.com.